Hello and welcome to Arena and our annual partnership with Temple Bar Tradfest. Where we are joined by some of the leading performing acts in this year's festival. On tonight's show, we are delighted to have the festival patron Stephen Ray with performances from folk legend Peggy Seeger, Steve and Joe Wall, Louise and Michelle Mulcahy, and poetry from Natalia O'Flaherty and Sasha Terfus. But let's kick off with a bit of music from a band performing this Friday at the festival. This is Boxing Banjo. Boxing Banjo with a song called Keeping It Real, and they will be performing this Friday, January 28th at 6:30 in the Grand Social in Dublin as part of Temple Bar Tradfest, which is the purpose of Arena tonight, to give you a flavour of what's coming up on Tradfest. And to help me do so, I'm joined by the festival patron, Stephen Ray. Stephen, you're very welcome.
Thank you very much.
So how long have you been involved in Tradfest?
I think 14 years.
And Kieran Carson was the reason you got involved, first of all, I think.
No. I was involved long before that. But about 3 years ago or 2 years ago, I got involved in a memorial thing for the poet Kieran Carson. And he was a beautiful poet, but he was also a beautiful flute player. So we invited, guess who, Matt Malloy, to come and play a bit of flute and Neil Martin on the cello. And it was such a great experience.
And Neil Martin, of course, is your long-term collaborator when it comes to music and words.
I can't get rid of him. And then we did something for Derek Mahan, who had also, they're all dying, you know. And that was really brilliant. That was with Paddy Glacken, tremendous, and Brian Connor on piano, and Neil Martin, and Matt again. And lots of wonderful poems.
So you've really been pushing an open door with Tradfest then, saying about this marriage of music and words and about building on it as an aspect of Tradfest.
Yeah. I mean, I do really think they are one and the same thing. You know, the poetry is music and the music is poetry, you know, and everybody feels it and the musicians respond amazingly to it, you know.
And you've worked with Neil Martin on the work of Seamus Heaney and the classics, the Greek classics. So how do you work together? You've got the words, obviously, which are set in the stone of the great writers who wrote them. So I presume he comes up with original music.
Yeah, well, sometimes he'll use airs that we're familiar with. He'll find a place where, you know, he'll go into that for a while, give me a rest. But then I love him being there to not so much comment, but to include himself in the projection of the story, of the language. It's very liberating.
And does that work? Like, do you rehearse and then you have a show, or is there a bit of improvisation during a performance?
We would always include improvisation, you know. But I mean, we'd have little cues, like I'd say, okay, I'll say two words, and then we'll both. Then you start playing, and I'll talk with you. It's great fun, you know. I mean, he's a very brilliant musician.
So the SIACT is the project you have for this Tradfest, and it's WISE, as in a sea,
yeah,
in Irish, and it's about bringing music and words together. So you have some modern day poets, and then you have some traditional musicians, very very adventurous traditional musicians.
Oh yeah, they are. I mean, these are very very modern musicians, you know. I did read a Mahan poem with Louise Mulcahy. She's out of this world, you know. And a while ago, I did a thing with Leisha Kelly, and Tiernan O'Dinkin, the piper. And the standard of musicianship at this point seems to me to be out of this world, you know.
So I think we should play Louise Mulcahy now, because I know you're a great admirer of her work. And here she is on her own on the Uilleann pipes. And this is a series of tunes. And this is The Boy on the Hilltop. Louise Mulcahy there with three reels on the Uilleann pipes, The Boy on the Hilltop, The Merry Harriers and The 5 Mile Chase. And Louise Mulcahy and her sister Michelle are all part of SEOC. This is an event on Friday as part of Tradfest at the Pepper Canister Church, curated by the patron, Stephen Ray, who's with me here. And we're also joined on the line by two of the performers, Natalia O'Flaherty and Sasha Terfus. You're very welcome. Hello, Sasha.
Hi.
Hi. You're based in Waterford, Sasha. Tell me a little bit about what you plan to do on Friday night in the Pepper Canister.
Yeah, no problem. I suppose I'm just going to perform a few pieces of poetry and kind of see how well they go down with the audience, you know. I suppose that's it, kind of in a nutshell, is just showcase a little bit of poetry and hope that maybe it connects with someone in the audience.
So you're part of this new, exciting tradition of spoken word poets, and you're based in Waterford. What's the scene like there? Where does it what does it revolve around? Does it revolve around a place, or is it an online community?
We have a pretty healthy community of kind of artists in general, I would say, especially down in Waterford. There's people in the theatre or involved in music, in the trad scene. There's poets, there's playwrights. And it's very much so a community in the sense of everyone's kind of willing to help one another and to reach out and kind of share their expertise or lend a hand where needs be, you know.
Now, Sasha, I don't know if you've decided what you're going to perform on Friday night, but I know that you are going to read Home for us. Can you introduce it for us, please?
Yeah, absolutely. No problem. I'm going to read a poem called Home, and it is about accents and how we define ourselves by them. I soften my voice and dull my accent. I leave long pauses between each word, extending the gaps in my syntax, leaving enough room for entire cultures to thrive. When you are the child of an immigrant, you learn to sing in a language that is broken and crooked. They will ask you about your song and you will hum out of tune and off key, your tongue swollen with the word family. They will ask you to sing of it, but the notes will freeze in your throat, dangle in the silence and the cold like a first winter, like the knocking of knees and the sounds hands make as you rub them briskly together. When you dance, it will summon the rains and the snowfall. You will be told to hold your feet tight, to silence your toes, but you will dance in great clouds, each limb celebrating the reign of kings and queens alike. Foreign lands nestle in the palms of your hands, and your belly it is stuck in the rhythm of mama's cooking, turning like grandmother's hands, nimble fingers sewing blankets and throws that don't quite warm like they used to. And they will speak of great poets, inventors, and musicians, discuss the greatest stories ever told. And when they ask you to speak of the tales that comfort you, all you will respond with is home.
Sasha Terfus, that's a fantastic poem, Home.
It's brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
Oh, thank you so much.
It's such exciting work, isn't it, Stephen, coming from all these wonderful new poets?
Oh, and it's fantastic. And the wonderful musicians as well, you see. It will work. It'll be brilliant.
Natalia O'Flaherty is with us as well. And Natalia, you have been working, or you're going to work with Louise and Michelle Mulcahy on doing your poems, with they working with you with their music.
Yeah, so I met Louise a while ago there in the Sugar Club at a gig, and I got to see her up close. I was lucky enough to be close enough. We were sharing a stage, and I seen her do her thing, and it was brilliant. It was fantastic, and we kind of mentioned in passing doing something together in the future, and then next thing you know, we have this brilliant opportunity. So yeah, we're collaborating. I'd say collaborating now to very much a COVID kind of collaboration, where I send her my bits and she works away, and it's not very, I wouldn't say it's very face to face or in person kind of meeting, but I'm excited for Friday as well to see the final result myself for the first time.
Okay, so you've sent her some of your poems, but you don't quite know what she's going to do with it yet.
Yeah, exactly. So it's more of it'll be a great surprise for me as well. Not even a surprise. I know kind of the general idea, but the whole thing of just putting, I'm not used to having any sort of music behind my poetry, but I suppose traditional Irish music or played with traditional Irish instruments is a really natural fit for what I do.
Yeah, we might ask Stephen, is it a bit disconcerting the first time out? You know, if you're used to just reading poems and then suddenly there's music behind you.
Well, you have to say, don't play so loud when it comes to that bit. or you might say, just stop before, so I can let these three words breathe on their own. You do have to be sensitive. It can't just work with. But believe me, Louise Mulcahy is sensitivity personified, and she, you'll have a ball. She will lift you and carry you. You know, that's the great thing.
So, Natalia, one of the poems you are going to perform is this classic of yours now called Dublin Disorder. We have it here on tape. We don't have Louise's music on it yet, so that's all going to be a treat for the people who go to the Pepper Canister Church. But you might introduce the poem and we'll play it.
Yeah, so this is a poem I wrote called Dublin Disorder, and it's in a nutshell about the erosion of Dublin culture. And I will say in advance, excuse the language, it's a bit crude in places, but yes, it is a Dublin Disorder.
You're very kind to warn our Radio 1 audience. Here's Dublin Disorder.
When our city is in disarray, it's easier than not to say that Dublin is dying. To say that Dublin is dead. And Dublin, while I love you, I just haven't got the head. And I haven't got the funds to get out of the red. And I haven't got the time to be wasting. Placating dodgy dealers, only throwing me a lifeline if I sign on just till better times. The crimes against culture are criminal. And the efforts to shift our focus aren't even fucking subliminal. They're lit up in LED for all to see. A fuck off, fuck you in the form of welcome to Grafton Quarter. The people are sick. We've got Dublin disorder. Dublin, you're disordered, we're bordered on destruction. We jumped through all your hoops and we followed your instructions. But still your club scene is closing, the homeless are frozen. And your only solution is fucking bulldozing. Reality bites harder than the tongue of those scorned. Warned by heads of high culture and low. Arts and funding in hand go. Dip your toe in activism and be met with division of culture and commerce. Fiercest champions of our old city falling flat in the tangles of tedious bureaucracy. Democracy only works if the people are listened to. No change is gained from scathing tweets or marches in streets or screaming along to the next song in your hedge-funded homogenous hotel late bar. So when your city is in disarray, it's easier than not to say that Dublin is dying. To say that Dublin is dead. The click-clack of Dublin nightlife rings out like mass bells in empty streets, because these cold cobbles are catching fewer high-heeled feet. And the brown town loafers have been replaced by runners, running from venue to venue before the vultures venture capital catapults them to the north side, followed closely by retort snide Instagram posts about their new locality. The reality is that Dublin, you're disordered, bordered on destruction, obstructing hopes to construct hotels. Never mind the culture, because it's the drink that sells. Charred cards tapped on their torty and overcharged for drink, because what else would you do when town's on the brink? The city bleeds with every chop and change, but the bear market floods with every exchange. Every drop of drink sold and we're told that we need it. We buy drink and breed it. And when last orders come, we file out and repeat it. You're wondering why your nightlife is closing when instead of investing, you're fucking bulldozing. There's no money for artists, so the art won't get made. You get nothing for nothing. We deserve to be paid.
Dublin Disordered there, performed by Natalia O'Flaherty. And we also heard from Sacha Terfus, and they're both going to be part of the Stephen Ray event, if I may call it that, Seacht, which is on Friday at the Pepper Canister Church. And Friday is the Friday before a very important anniversary at the weekend. That's the 50th anniversary of Bloody Sunday.
That's right, yeah. And actually, I thought it was great to hear Natalia's poem there, because it was so political, you know, activism. And Thomas Kinsella wrote a poem in response to the first Bloody Sunday called Butcher's Dozen. And he got a lot of stick because it was a political response. And I just think it's great that the poets are doing this, you know. And, you know, he had anger. And so I'll read a few lines of Butcher's
Dozen.
That
would be lovely.
I went with anger at my heel through bogside of the bitter zeal. Jesus, pity. On a day of cold and drizzle and decay, a month had passed. Yet there remained a murder smell that stung and stained. On flats and alleys over all it hung. On battered roof and wall, on wreck and rubbish scattered thick, on sullen steps and pitted brick. And when I came where 13 died, it shriveled up my heart. I sighed and looked about that brutal place of rage and terror and disgrace. Then my moistened lips grew dry. I had heard an answering sigh. There in a ghostly pool of blood, a crumpled phantom hugged the mud. Once there lived a hooligan, a pig came up and away he ran. Here lies one in blood and bones, who lost his life for throwing stones. More voices rose. I turned and saw three corpses forming. Red and raw from dirt and stone, each upturned face stared unseeing from its place.
Stephen Ray reading from Thomas Kinsella's Butcher's Dozen. Let's finish with another track now from Louise and Michelle Mulcahy. Here's Keane O'Hara. And Michelle Mulcahy with Keane O'Hara. Natalia O'Flaherty, thank you so much for talking to us. And Sacha Terfus, thank you also. And the event is Seacht, which is on this Friday in the Pepper Canister Church in Dublin 2. Stephen Ray, I think you wanted to say about one of the other poets you're going to be reading on the night.
Oh yeah, she's a wonderful poet and a wonderful harpist as well, Emily Cullen. She lives in Galway, and she handed me a book of her poems. And I just think she combines both of what we're doing on Friday.
Well, that's all on Friday at the Pepper Canister Church. All booking from tradfesttemplebar.com. And we'll be back with Peggy Seeger. Welcome back to this special Tradfest arena. Tomorrow, January the 26th, Tradfest will welcome a true legend of folk music, a woman whose career dated back a full 7 decades. Peggy Seeger first started touring in the 1950s at the age of 17. Over her career, she has recorded 24 solo studio albums and countless others with her long-term partner, the folk singer Ewan McCall. Indeed, she was famously the inspiration for McCall's classic The First Time Ever I Saw Your Face. Now aged 86, Peggy Seeger will travel to Ireland to perform songs from her current album, First Farewell, at St. Patrick's Cathedral tomorrow evening. The album is full of irreverent takes on everything from politics to her activism to ageing to feminism and beyond. Last week, Sean Rock spoke to Peggy Seeger, but he opened the interview with a song that very much reflects the humour and sparkle at the core of this album. This is Gotta Get Home by Midnight.
When the clock strikes 12, nature resumes her own gravitational plan. Then I'm hitting the road with Father Time dragging me by the hand. But I'm gonna leave a little glass slipper behind before the rats start pulling my van. Getting younger by the hour, gotta get home by midnight.
And that was Gotta Get Home by Midnight by Peggy Seeger, taken from her latest album, First Farewell. Peggy will be playing tomorrow evening as part of Tradfest, and we're delighted to be speaking to her now. And that's a great philosophy of life that singer, whoever she is, Peggy Seeger, it's a great philosophy of life that she has in that song. Get up, when you wake up, you're 100. By the time you're going to bed, you're a young one in your teens.
Well, I'm not necessarily a young woman, although I will say that Ewan McCall's hair was starting to get a little bit grey when he first courted me at age 41, and he said he was 39. I put that line in. It was him that said it, or that did it. But I figure that I'd be probably at that point about 24, 25. And when I was 24 and 25, I didn't feel as if I was a young woman. I felt as if I was old.
However, that song suggests to me that now in your 80s, you feel perhaps like a much younger woman.
It depends on the time of day. I'll be 87 in June. And I think I'm actually in Ireland on my 87th birthday. I'm not sure what day where I shall be, but I am doing an Irish tour in the summer.
All right. So you may well celebrate your 87th birthday in this part of the world. That would be a wonderful birthday. I presume a birthday for you would involve the singing of a lot of songs gathered over all of those years and that those songs would bring back all kinds of memories.
Well, I've had a very strange day, Sean. When Ewan McCall died, our house was full of the papers and the photographs and the recordings of our 30 years together. And I flipped. I had a nervous breakdown. And I decided to get rid of all of the paraphernalia of our life together. So I put it into an archive at Ruskin College. So 60 huge boxes went off. Ruskin, they categorized it and cataloged it and took excellent care of it. But now Ruskin has changed, and the Library of Congress has taken all of our archives, and they all went off today. So I was over there, and it was a strange day. I saw all of my life with Ewan McCall in boxes going away to the United States. It was really strange. It was like getting younger again, because I was remembering this project, that project, this recording, the other one, but it's gone now. And in a way, it feels like a burden off my shoulders, because I was astounded at how many projects we'd had and how much work.
Let's go to another track on the album, if I could, at this point, Peggy. First Farewell, as I say, is the title of the album. I presume you've no intention of going anywhere in terms of stopping singing or stopping touring. Is this a bit of a joke that you're having with us?
No. The first farewell is what you do at an airport when you're seeing someone off that you love. I particularly thought of my father when I saw him for the last time. The first farewell is where a non-passenger can no longer go any further. And that's when you have a physical farewell. And my father hugged me in a really special way that time. And what you do at Heathrow, which is where I've always taken people, you walk down about 20 yards. And everybody that I really love has stopped at that point and given a second farewell. So this is the first farewell, and it's still, you don't know what's going to happen. The second farewell comes along. I don't think I'll make another CD. I really don't think I will. I can't depend on my voice. I can work my way around the cracks, but I have to practice an hour and a half a day just to stay where I am, like Alice in Wonderland. You have to run like hell just to stay in one place. This is a first farewell, and I'm very pleased with it. It's a very odd album, I must say. It's quite dark, a lot of it.
There are darknesses on there, and it addresses, I suppose, the reality of growing older in life. I wanted to play The Invisible Woman. Maybe you'd give me some of the thoughts that were in your mind in the writing of this, although I think some of the ideas originally came from your son, Neil.
Neil and I wrote this equally. We didn't have any ideas. It's the first song we've ever written together. And he came up to my house in Oxford. He laid himself down on our three quarters sofa, and he's 6'2", and we had no ideas. And so we started talking about our lives, and he said, "You know, Mom, I feel invisible at my age." And I kind of thought, well, maybe do you feel invisible to younger women? Because you're still highly marriageable, although he's married second time. I said, "You try being an 85-year-old woman and see how invisible you are." Now, in my professional life, I'm not invisible. But as an old lady, I am. And it's a delight that men no longer look at you in a certain way. You can look at them and they don't know you're watching them.
Ah. You know? Let's have a little listen to a bit of The Invisible Woman.
80 years have gone by in the blink of an eye. Now it seems that I'm not here at all. Here comes the invisible woman. She's been on the planet for years. You can't make her out, but there's never a doubt. The invisible woman is here.
The Invisible Woman from Peggy Seeger there, and that's from her latest album, First Farewell, and Peggy playing tomorrow night, January the 26th, as part of Tradfest. I'm very sad to hear that you think this may well be the final CD. It's full of political chat, I would have thought, as much as it is anything else. There's lots of fun on it, for sure. I was struck by Lullabies for Strangers. Tell me a little bit of the origins of that song, and what you wanted to touch on in it, Peggy.
Well, I've been a privileged woman for almost all of my life. I've had people who come in and help and who do things, cleaning the house, cooking meals, doing laundry. And when I landed in Oxford, which was 11 years ago, I was touring so much that I just couldn't take care of any housework. And there were two Filipino women, lovely women, Daisy and Grace, two sisters. They're beautiful and cheerful and happy. And they look about 25 and they're in their mid-40s. They send money home. And I remember I was talking to Grace one day. She started telling me how much she missed her daughter. I had my little recording machine on, so I said, "Do you mind if I record what you're saying?" She didn't. And I asked Daisy the same thing. And both of them had sent their children through college in the Philippines with their cleaning work in English houses.
Wow.
And Daisy had been here for 3 years without going back to the Philippines. And a lot of those words are from her. But some of the very obvious phrases came from Kate St. John. We wrote the song together because she kept saying, "I can't imagine leaving my daughter to go to another country, leaving her." I said, "But you don't understand. In the Philippines, Grace's daughter would be left with grannies and aunties and with other siblings. She would have a family." Kate didn't have that family. She was it. She was a single mother. But she still came up with some amazing kissing shadows. Wow.
Yeah, it's a beautiful song, and it really did catch me when I heard it. Peggy, it's lovely to speak with you this evening. I'm sure people will be delighted to see you at the gig tomorrow night. I'll give them details of that after the song. Will you promise me that if you're around Ireland on the 87th birthday, that you'll come and sit opposite me across the desk and we can have a proper chat?
That'd be nice. By the way, I'm singing Invisible Woman. I'm singing a song, a political song I made in 1968, which is still topical. And I'm finishing with another one of the songs from the album, How I Long for Peace.
Well, listen, lovely to have spoken with you this evening. But given the story that you've told us about Lullabies for Strangers, let's finish with that. Peggy Seeger, thank you very much.
Thank you, Sean.
Lullabies for a stranger's children. who sings for my own little birds, sing lullabies in a foreign land where no one understands. No one.
And that was Peggy Seeger with Lullabies for Strangers, taken from her current album released last year entitled First Farewells. Peggy will perform tomorrow evening at St. Patrick's Cathedral in Dublin as part of Tradfest. The full show is entitled Women of Note, hosted by singer and songwriter Aoife Scott, and it will also feature multi-international award-winning Irish folk artist Wallace Bird. Full details from tradfesttemplebar.com. Welcome back to Arena. I'm here with the patron of Tradfest, Stephen Ray. But finally this evening, I'm joined by two absolute stalwarts of the Irish music scene, whether in the guise of The Walls or The Stunning. Brothers Steve and Joe Wall are live music mainstays with an attendant large and loyal fan base. They are just coming off a run of gigs with The Stunning before Christmas, with reduced capacity, of course. And now, on the 28th of January, in the Button Factory, as part of Tradfest, they will play their first restriction-free gig since October. I'll talk to Steve and Joe after we hear their latest single, getting its first ever radio play tonight. This is Chrome Heart. Chrome Heart, the new single from Steve and Joe Wall. Steve and Joe, you're very welcome to this Arena special from Tradfest.
Thanks, Kate. Thanks for having us.
And Steve, you must be delighted to be back performing in front of a full audience again.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, it's been a strange 2 years. We've kind of, everyone's been sort of gigging by the, you know, not knowing what it way it's going to be. Is it going to be seated? Is there going to be people sitting down with a meal? Some of the gigs that we did like a year ago, people had to have a meal worth €9.
And, yes.
Then there was like, you know, masks on to leave the table, seated. Then some gigs, nobody was allowed in. It was just video cameras. They're the worst, actually. They're very difficult. And so just, you know, I think artists at this point don't know what to expect, you know, but it really is a relief that all of that stuff is gone, because your mind would be boggled trying to work your way around it, you know.
Yes, and I know we spoke during the pandemic and you had very much your finger on the pulse of how performing artists were feeling about things. Do you think that they're more buoyed up with the opportunity to get back performing, or have they still got worries?
I think, you know, I mean, everybody has gone through a really difficult couple of years in the entertainment industry. And I think people are absolutely relieved. But also, I mean, you know, we're all realistic about it. We know it's going to take some time for the industry to recover, you know. I mean, for example, an awful lot of shows have been rescheduled. And I'm talking about international artists as well. I really feel sorry for the promoters and venues and all, because they've spent 2 years rescheduling dates and rescheduling. I mean, our shows that we did last couple of months back in the Olympia, they were rescheduled 5 times, you know. Mm-hmm. And one of the rescheduled, the last show actually, was a Sunday night. And I actually asked MCD, would there be any chance, like, would it be a Thursday, Friday or Saturday night anywhere? And the closest one we could get was December 2022. You know,
so there's going to be bottlenecks for some time to come.
There's going to be a lot of bottlenecks. So I think it could be until, I don't know, it's my prediction anyway. It could be, you know, there's rescheduled dates gone into 2023 as well. So it could take a while for things to kind of settle and for Irish artists really to get their foot in the door in venues that are already chock-a-block.
So, Joe, you have been quite busy. So Chrome Heart, which is the lead single, this comes from Stray Sparks. And this is, well, they're mainly songs that you had pre-recorded and maybe either were too late to get on certain albums, and you have accumulated a selection for this new album.
Yeah, that's more or less it. It's unreleased material. Like, do you know, Kay, during the lockdown, a lot of people were clearing out their attics, going mm-hmm. through photographs and stuff like this. We were going through the hard drives, looking at what songs have we got, and we came across quite a lot of songs that are just not available. They're not on Spotify, they're not on albums, you can't get them. And we were kind of surprised at how many really good songs we had. And what's actually going to be on the album is 10 songs, but that's whittled down from a lot more.
12 songs, brother.
12 songs, sorry, apologies. There was a lot more songs than that.
I can see you arguing over the album already, yeah.
Yeah, that's from too much time in the studio, slaving over mixes and stuff like that. But so it's a really interesting collection of songs, and it's kind of unusual, you know, for us to put out an album, to put together an album of songs that were recorded some time ago. You know, usually a band will work on an album and they'll record the songs, they'll mix them and then release them. Whereas for us, we were just dipping back into seeing, well, what do we have that's not released? And so there's kind of a novelty factor to it for us initially. Now, there's actually been a lot of work done to actually mix some of the songs and to master them and all that kind of stuff. So some of that novelty wore off.
And is it really 10 years since the last album, Joe?
Yeah, the last Walls album was put out in 2012. Right. So that's 10 years ago, yeah.
And Steve, you've got your other career, which is, of course, your acting career, and The Man Across the Table from Me and you have been working together quite recently.
Yes, and I'm really sorry I'm not there in the studio to give Mr. Stephen Ray a big warm hug.
Yeah.
Because we met for the very first time last, I'll tell you, it was the 16th of June, and we both met in Dublin Airport on our way to Spain to work on this series for BBC and Amazon, and a Western. And I recognized him straight away. We had masks on, but I mean, you'd even recognize Stephen Ray with a mask on. And so we became great friends. You know, we met in the airport, we shared the flight, and we were on the exact same flight 2.5 months later coming back to Dublin. And we haven't seen each other since, and we miss each other, don't we, Stephen?
Yeah, I miss you. It's just, it's hard to get out, you know, but then even this week when I'm working, you're working the same night.
Exactly. That's what a terrible coincidence.
And Stephen, can you tell us what you were working on?
Yeah, it was a brilliant series. It was probably one of the best things I've ever been in, by a great, great director, writer, producer, Hugo Blick. It's about the destruction of the Native Americans by a charming race called the English.
I can see why you bonded.
Well, we would have breakfast together most mornings in the hotel, and then we would find some restaurant in Madrid to have evening dinner. And Stephen put me straight in the way of imperialism and all of that regularly.
I wish I was at those meals. So, Joe, will you introduce, we have a second track here. It's Bird in a Cage. Will you introduce it for us?
I will indeed. So Bird in a Cage is a single from the album Stop the Lights. And it's a kind of a story about the Wall family relocation from Dublin down to Ennistime in County Clare in 1976 and what ensued. Our story of our kind of upbringing in County Clare in the West.
All right. So you moved, the family moved from Dublin?
Yeah, we moved down there at Lockstock and two smoking barrels and four kids down to Ennistimon. We've been living in Dublin, and our father took over the family shoe shop in Ennistimon. So we all moved down and he ran the shop, and we went to school and went to the Christian Brothers, and the girls went to the convent. And we got a taste of the West. We were thrown in the deep end of the West of Ireland at the time, and it was very interesting.
Okay, this is Bird in a Cage.
And moved out west to a town in the country. Everybody thought that we were so lucky, but I wasn't all that sure.
Can you ever really take the city from the boy? Well, the first thing I missed was all the noise. It was so damn quiet, I found it hard to sleep at night.
Bird in a cage, a miserable Irish youth in Innis Diamond, I think, but with great music. And as Stephen said, there is a conflict. Steve and Joe play live at the Button Factory in Temple Bar for the Tradfest on January the 28th at 6:30. This is the same time you, Stephen Ray, and Seoth are in the Pepper Canister Church.
That's right.
With Gabriel Rosenstock, who I know you wanted to mention. Yeah. But you can get all the information and make your own choices by getting onto the website tradfesttemplebar.com.